What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Kingsport Podcast presented by RateCrushers.com. And as you guys can see, and as I promised, I am not alone. Joining me once again on the show, the one and only Bryant West of the King's Herald. Bryant, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. This is the best time of year for poor suffering Kings fans who just want anything but to be in this spot again. But, you know, it's the eternal season of hope, draft season. Excited to talk some prospects, but I know that's not what is on your mind, Mr. Trade Machine.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, we will get to the prospects, and we have a little bit of time. I only pulled up, I think, four real trades for us to discuss together on this show. But, for those who don't know, Brian and I go back and forth on Twitter kind of bit because he sees these trades I post up, and I know on the inside he loves every single one of them. Like, he says I'm crazy, but I actually believe in my heart you love every single one of my trades. Is that true?
I remember the New Orleans one that was, hey, let's trade back three spots and get away from the top four star prospects, and the only great return here is number seven and Josh Hart. I didn't like that one. Not at all.
Look, okay. this is the one that got you and James revoking my Trade Machine card. First off, I don't appreciate you guys trying to revoke my library card, okay? It's free books as long as I bring the card. And I have that thing bookmarked on my phone for a reason. I love the dang Trade Machine. And when I made the trade to get Josh Hart from the Blazers, the thing was is it was just an idea. It's like, look, you get Josh Hart, you're going to the seventh spot. You were already expected to be there anyways, right? So you go there. Maybe they got to throw in another first-round pick, obviously. But to get the ball rolling, get the conversation going. You know, I feel like people don't understand. This Trade Machine is to get conversations going. I know you liked it internally. In your heart, you love that trade.
No. And you can't tell me that I have to like the trade and then say, oh, it's just a conversation starter. I wanted no part of that deal.
Send me a rebuttal. Make this fantasy football. Send me your rebuttal trades. A negotiation has to be had. I'm coming to the table. Let me hear what else you got.
This is why I'm the wrong person to have on here, because my entire mindset throughout the whole year is, all right, how are the Kings going to get higher in the lottery? What happens if they get X pick? I'm not the trade master of the Kings Herald. If you want to have the trade master on here, you need to have Tim Maxwell on, because the only person I think who rivals you for trade chaos is that man. But
I've tried. Our schedules never line up, and I also don't think he likes any of my trades either. So I think you guys are the same.
You know what? Where's he? He has no stones to throw. Although the only people think that he pisses off with trades are Kings fans. You have the audacity to go out there and tag fans from other fandoms to be like, hey, come yell at me about all my trades.
I love them.
The trade today, and I assume you're going to talk about it, is the first one that you shared that has really made me stop and be like, you know, that's realistic, and I really like that. I'm in a war with myself. I still don't know how I'd come down on it. So,
all right, let me see. I have these trades pulled up over here. If I can get my screen to work, I have these trades lined up for everyone to see if it will allow me to do so. And yes, the trade that you're talking about is for OG Anunoby. As it was reported earlier today, that OG Anunoby and the Toronto Raptors may be open to potentially moving on from Anunoby. So here's the deal now, if you guys can see it. It is Rashawn Holmes and the number four pick for OG Anunoby, a lottery protected 2023 first round pick, and the number 33 pick in the second round this year. So I thought that was a pretty fair deal on both sides. Personally, I even think a part of me believes the Raptors get the better end of this deal, in my personal opinion. But I can't believe how many Raptors fans think that this is the worst trade they'd ever seen. I think people are underestimating Rashawn Holmes. But you saw this deal. You said it was realistic. Let's say this deal goes through. Are you happy with this type of deal? Like, would you be okay with the Kings making this move?
I would celebrate this trade. I don't know that I would think the Kings got the better end of the trade, but, well, first off, I've long been an OG Anunoby fan. Like, he was the dude I wanted them to take at 10 in that draft when they took Fox at 5 and then they traded back from 10 to 15 and 20. I really was hoping they'd end up with him, and he's been everything I could have hoped for. And honestly, he's just such a good fit with Sabonis. Great defensive player, improving shot maker, especially in the corners. Some creation upside. He'd just be a good fit here. That contract's incredibly fair. The downside I know is that he's hasn't played 50 games in either of the last 2 years. That to me is the real hesitation. Do I think that he has as high a ceiling as any of the top four guys? No. So I definitely do think Toronto might be the favorite outcome in this deal, but like the fit here is just so perfect, and you know, I'd love the outcome.
What do you say to the people that say OG Anunoby is not worth a fourth round pick? Like, I guess the real question, because Josh Eberle, who covers the NBA as well for NBA.com, like, he even took it, retweeted this, and was like, you know, what would you rather have, like OG Anunoby or the fourth pick in the draft? And for me, I think you also have to say it's OG Anunoby and a protected first for next year, because that's the only way the conversation gets started. You have to have that 2023 first-round pick, in my opinion. But what would you rather have, the fourth or OG, if you're looking in terms of just talent, which of what's available?
I think a lot of it comes down to, for Sacramento specifically, I think a lot of it comes down to who's there at four. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think that this is a four-player draft. Jaden Ivey absolutely should be the pick if he's the one who's still there. But if any one of Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith Jr., or Paolo Banchero is there for, I think I would rather have any one of those guys at a cost-control rookie scale deal for the next 4+3 years than OG. Jaden Ivey's more of a conversation because it's a real sort of fit versus ceiling outcome. He may be the best player in this draft when we're talking in a couple of years, but you know, the fit is more complicated. Anyone who can sit there and say, I'd absolutely rather have the fourth pick than OG, you know, I can understand where that's coming from, but it's also kind of not looking at the possibility that, you know, these picks don't always pan out. And even if guys do pan out to a certain degree, there is no guarantee that any one of these guys does become as good as OG. Would I bet on it? No, I would definitely think that all four of those guys would be as good, probably better than OG in the long run. But OG is such a good player now and such a great fit in Sacramento, the same age as De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis, and fills a fantastic big need this team has always had. I mean, what's the last time they had a power wing with his skill set? I honestly can't think of it. So to me, anyone who says, nah, this isn't a fair deal, well, you better be talking about health, because if you're talking about talent, I disagree.
Yeah, that's I'm in the same boat. I think if you were already thinking that Murray was your pick there, and we are going to get to draft talk as soon as we get through these trades. These other ones, you're going to laugh at me anyway, so we'll get through them pretty quick. But if you were already thinking that Keegan Murray was the pick because of fit, you have to look at OG Anunoby and say the same exact thing with actual NBA experience and defense. And the defense that he brings, I think, is being overlooked. And, yeah, the health concerns, I think, are real. Obviously, playing 43 games the prior season and then 48 games this season, it is definitely concerning about the injury concerns. But I do believe that OG Anunoby has a pure talent and the upside. His age matches the timeline of this team. You have to go after a guy like that. And then again, it's you don't know what any of these guys are going to be at number four, and we'll get to that here at the end of the show. So let's go ahead and move on to the next trade here that I believe you gave me a lot of crap about. I think this is where the conversation started, where you said, Vince, you're crazy, and I started getting the Michael Jordan, please stop, you need help. And it was this trade here where I said Rashawn Holmes and Mo Harkless for Tim Hardaway Jr. in a second.
What were? Oh, I I don't think that's crazy. That's not the one I'm remembering that I gave you flack for. I think that's pretty fair.
I like that one.
If Dallas needs a center, Dallas knows they need a center. If they want Rashawn Holmes, like, Tim Hardaway would be a really good spot fill here, especially if the Kings don't leave this draft with a shooter in tow, with a wing in tow. So, you know, I think that one's pretty fair.
See, my thing is on this one is if you do this trade, you trade Rashawn Holmes for Tim Hardaway Jr. in a second round pick, I think you draft Keegan Murray at 4. I think that's what they would go for here. And then Tim Hardaway can be your starter shooter next to Fox. And I think a lot of people say that, like, if you go for Tim Hardaway Jr., you're basically having Buddy Hield all over again. My counter to that is Tim Hardaway Jr. is a better overall scorer than Buddy Hield, being that he can put the ball on the floor. He's actually willing to attack the rim, unlike Buddy Hield. I think Buddy Hield was allergic to the rim. He did not like getting close to that thing at all. Obviously, he's not as good of a shooter from deep, but I just think that Tim Hardaway Jr. is a good starter, especially if Dante DiVincenzo doesn't come back. So I thought this trade made sense, but I'm pretty sure this was the one where I saw you say,
I remember crazy. The one that I gave you flack for, and it was the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander one.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. So let's go ahead and bring up the tweet. So this was the tweet that brought, I said, rumors of the Kings having a deal with OKC to move up is interesting. However, I feel there's a feeling that I have that if a deal gets done, it won't be for the number 2 pick. It would be for SGA. Kings are in win now mode. They don't need to get younger. They need a proven talent to take them to the next level. Right? This was the one that you're talking about. And then yep. I posted the trade. And the trade was this. The trade was Rashawn Holmes, Davion Mitchell, the number 4 pick, a 2024 first round pick, and then a 2026 top 5 protected first rounder. And in return, the Kings get SGA. Obviously, you do the sign and trade for Jeremy Lamb to make the contracts work here. But yes, this would be the deal. What made this trade so crazy to you? What did you not like about this trade?
I love it for Sacramento.
And me too.
I absolutely love it for Sacramento. I do not believe that Oklahoma City is looking to trade Gilgeous-Alexander. I think the entire reason that they've been doing what they've been doing is to build a team around him, that he is the focal point of everything they're going to be doing moving forward, that who they're going to add at number 2 is going to be a guy that they want to build around him with. I don't think they go into this offseason looking to trade him whatsoever. I think if you set that deal to Sam Presti, he would laugh. That's where I was coming at this one from.
I disagree. And look, let me build my case to why. And I know we talked about it on Twitter already, but for those who haven't seen it yet, again, welcome to the show, Kings Court Podcast, sponsored by Rate Crushers, special guest Bryant West from the Kings Herald. We're talking Kings trades and then prospects later on down the line. If you haven't done so already, hit that like button. But here's my mindset on this deal already, Bryant. This is it. With SGA and how this team is currently built right now, they're nowhere near getting to the play. I think they're still a step behind making the play-in behind the Kings. And the West is only going to get stronger. And OKC has proven that how they like to build their team is through the draft. They like acquiring a ton of assets to pull the trigger on something big. If you look at this trade as a whole, they get a starting center, which their starting center right now has been like Isaiah Roby or Mike Muscala at times, and I can't remember the other young guy's name. It hasn't been that great as a starting center. They get Rashawn Holmes to do that there. Perfectly good contract. Tradable again. 3-year deal. They get a top 10 pick the prior year in Davion Mitchell, who has showed promise. So that's another top 10 pick that you're getting a first rounder. You're getting the number 4 pick in this draft, where they've already shown the idea of having Jaden Ivey. There's a lot of rumors floating around that Jaden Ivey is a huge person of interest for them. You also don't need to give up that number 2 pick, which could be Chet Holmgren, Paolo, Jabari, whichever one they want to move there. So they get to have the 2, the 4, Davion Mitchell, who was a top 10 pick the year prior. On top of that, they get 2 more first, 2024 first rounder and a 2026 top 5 protected first rounder. And if you're betting on the Kings to hopefully get better a little bit, that would be a pick that they no matter what get. And in return, they lose SGA, but for the Kings, they get a player that meets their timeline in terms of age, under contract for 5 years and a backcourt of Fox and SGA, while fit-wise, it's the same conversation we're going to probably have about Ivy here in a minute, is a little questionable. I always say you have to get talent right now. You worry about fit later once the talent is acquired. I think that is box office backcourt between SGA and Fox. Did I sway you in any way? Did I make my argument?
You didn't have to sway me on the Sacramento angle of this. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander would be the number one pick in this draft right now. I wouldn't be overly concerned about his fit with Fox. I'm just going to go back to the point you started this on, trying to sell it for OKC. OKC has been in asset collection mode in order to eventually either get such a high-end prospect that they don't have to worry about how they're rebuilding moving forward, or that they have enough picks that they can trade them for a star. Why would they keep doing that when they're trading away an asset that logically either this year or next year they'd try to be consolidating talent for anyway? Like, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is a guy that if he wasn't on the Thunder, they would be trading picks to go get, I think. So that's where the disconnect is here. I don't think they're that far away. I think Sacramento is in a better spot next year for them, especially if Sacramento really does something decent in the draft area. But I don't think they're that far behind. Like, this was a team, the youngest team in the NBA, and they still had a top 10 defense. You add Chet Holmgren to that rotation, you maybe make one more trade. Like, if they did their star trade this offseason, consolidated their bajillion picks and got somebody in return, I wouldn't necessarily bet against this team being in that play-in conversation. So I don't think they're as far away as you do.
I do. I just don't think they have enough offense. They don't have enough offensive power. And again, the defense is solid. I mean, you got Lu Dort. SGA is really good defensively. I think Giddey is an underrated defender as well. In terms of just reading the passing lanes, he kind of has that Halliburton defense, if I'm being a little honest. But it's still defense nonetheless. He gets you those steals. If you're going to draft Giddey, you're already thinking about drafting Jaden Ivey. I mean, that could be your backcourt there. Then you get Davion Mitchell. That's still your defensive presence there. You can have Chet Holmgren or Jabari Smith. I can never pronounce that guy's last name. I see the face you're making. Don't make fun of me, Brian. Don't make fun of me on the name. or even Paolo. I think Paolo makes a lot of sense there too, even though his defense really doesn't, you know, fit with what they're doing. But I just feel like they need to keep acquiring this young talent. I don't think that they're that close. I like Darius Bazley, but he's continued to be a project. He's still a project player. Poku's a big project player. Lu Dort is really good. Is he going to develop that jump shot? He was taking jump shots this past season. He was taking them. That's the most I can say about it, you know? So
yeah.
I really don't know if it's really there for that next step for them to be there. So I think you get 3 first-round picks, technically 4 if you consider Davion Mitchell still to be a first-round pick since he's only going into his sophomore year, and the Kings get SGA. So for me, it makes sense on both sides. Obviously, it's just a pipe dream. Last one here that I wanted to just bring up, just because it is getting closer to draft day. This would be a draft day trade. Would you be open to this deal here, Brian? Would you be open to the idea of trading for Kyle Kuzma, and I believe it's the number 10 pick from the Wizards, and you give up Justin Holiday, Alex Len, and the fourth pick?
I'm pretty against any sort of trade back deals. Kyle Kuzma would be good here, and 10's going to offer some level of talent, but I think that kind of trade is getting too cute. Just take one of the top 4 players and be done with it. They're on a completely different level than anybody else in this draft, in my book.
I agree. I personally am not the biggest Kuzma guy. Like, if you're going to get Kuzma, I'd be okay with you. If for 2 years, I'd rather go ahead and go get Jeremy Grant and the 5 from the Pistons and let them move up to 4. I feel like view them as the exact same thing.
That one, I think, it would be really hard for me to say no, but I'd probably have to say yes to that one. But there's just Jaden Ivey. Let's pretend he's there at 4. Jaden Ivey's closer to the first pick for me than he is to the 5th pick. I'm not even thinking outside the top 4. I know that the Kings will have to do the due diligence and consider Keegan Murray, Benedict Mathurin, AJ Griffin, Shaedon Sharpe. Just take whichever one of Chet, Jabari, Paolo, or Ivy is there.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and jump into this draft conversation. But before I do, I want to remind everyone, this show is the King's Court. We are presented by RateCrushers.com. I have Bryant West. Follow him there, BSWest5 on Twitter. He is from the King's Herald, where we just talked about all those trades. Let us know which ones you guys like down in the comment section below, or how crazy I am. You might be on Bryant's side and think I'm Loki over here of the trade machine. Revoke my trade machine card for all I care. Guys, I'm still using it. Still using it. But let's go ahead and move over to the draft, because for me, I think at number four, you and I are on the same mindset. Jaden Ivey, after the top three, is the clear best player available at number four. I know a lot of people love Shaedon Sharpe. They're really infatuated with the mystery that is Shaedon Sharpe. But I think if you're going off what we've seen with talent, the explosiveness that this guy brings, as well as the recovery that he's shown defensively. I think defensively he's not great, but he has shown that his athleticism and quickness allows him to recover better in most situations where he doesn't look horrible. I think it's clear to me he's the best player available, and I tweeted it out not that long ago. The closer we get to the draft, the more obvious that will be, and I'm glad you're starting to see it as well. I've been seeing it. You cover the draft for the King's Herald, so you've given it basically a little overview here, but in totality, what is your thoughts on Jaden Ivey as a player? Does he fit for the Kings?
The Sacramento Kings need talent. Jaden Ivey is a star upside talent. So, yeah, he fits the Sacramento Kings. Is he the ideal fit? Like, if the Kings were number one or number two, he wouldn't be my selection, not because I don't think he's worth considering in that range, but just because I would think that Chet Holmgren or Jabari Smith Jr. are equally talented in terms of upside, but also fit Sacramento significantly better. That said, Jaden Ivey's the one at four. You take him, you run up to the podium, and you celebrate. You've now got probably the most exciting young bat court in the West between Fox, Davion Mitchell, and Jaden Ivey. My concerns, like you alluded to with Ivey, aren't really so much on offense, although he does need to prove that he can be a more consistent playmaker. I think that was my biggest concern on offense, and he's not the most proven three-level scorer. Like, he's insane at the rim, shot something like 68% at the basket in the half court, which is crazy considering that Purdue just had no spacing around him. The problem on offense is that he has no mid-range game to speak of. He was either a three-point shooter or get-to-the-basket kind of guy, but just so electric that it doesn't matter on offense. The big concern, like you alluded to, is on defense. And I'm not so sure it has anything to do with, like, his range or his toolbox, because, like, he is upper echelon of combo guards in terms of speed, quickness, explosiveness, length, combo. The problem is just his motor. He's not locked in on defense anywhere near as much as he is on offense. But how many star players have we said that about when they were coming into the NBA? How many of them turned it around and became average defenders? De'Aaron Fox didn't, but, you know, I think that would be the big concern. But you can't ignore talent. You just can't. Don't overthink this. Take Jaden Ivey if he's the one who's there at four.
Yeah, I think Jaden Ivey, like you said, is the clear player for me as well. The player comp I had for him, I just did a player comp video yesterday during my live show, and it was a split for me. So, like, when I was watching it initially, I was like, you know, just because of the way he moves, I was saying Gilbert Arenas when he was in college, you know, but Gilbert Arenas was just a shooter. He could shoot that thing, you know, and Ivy isn't really as good of a three-level scorer. Like you said, he has no mid-range game whatsoever. Gilbert Arenas had a mid-range game. And then I was talking to Tony on here on Twitter, and he says that it's Steve Francis. Steve Francis is a big reminder of him, and I like that one as well. Nice combo guard that can drive to the basket. I think Stevie Francis is really good. I'm not a huge fan of the Westbrook comparison, but what?
Yeah.
Do you have a comparison in mind? Because I think the closest thing, if I had to go with current NBA players, is Anthony Edwards.
He's a little smaller than Ant in terms, like, I would say half of what makes Ant so exciting as a physical prospect is that he's just so strong, so powerful, just knocks big men out of the way.
Yeah.
Ivy's more kind of that electric, just going to weave through guys to get his shots off. To me, the comp I've always liked is Donovan Mitchell in terms of that scoring ability. The three-level scoring is not fit there. But, you know, Donovan Mitchell had that same kind of boy, his passing was kind of inconsistent in college. His defense wasn't super consistent. Those are both things that I think that Ivy needs to improve on. I agree with you with the Westbrook comp. That one never made sense to me because Westbrook is, again, so bulky, so strong, and he was also so much better of a playmaker coming out of college than Jaden Ivey that I think that one doesn't make any sense. The other one that everybody uses is Ja Morant, and Ja Morant was just on a completely different level as a terms of a passer playmaker for his teammates than Ivey has ever been. So, and we know Sacramento Kings fans would happily add any one of those guys we just mentioned next to De'Aaron Fox. So I think that, honestly, every one of these top four guys is being overthought on both Kings Twitter and on NBA Twitter as a whole. Every single one of them deserves a top four spot. I'm just not going to overthink any one of them. I'm not going to overthink the fit if they are the ones who fall to Sacramento at four.
Let's say it's not Jaden Ivey. They go in the direction of Shaedon Sharpe. What are your thoughts on that whole situation? What's your thoughts on Shaedon Sharpe as a player?
It would be that kind of upside swing that, you know, I'd rather see them take Jaden Ivey as that upside swing because you know what he is. You've seen what he is and against the highest level competition he could play. You didn't get to see that with Shaedon Sharpe. But, you know, it's that kind of upside swing that I would prefer to see the Kings take over some of the more safe options in that range. It's kind of twofold. One is, when was the last time the Kings took a project player and it worked out? Because I honestly can't think of it.
Never.
Gerald Wallace. Really, that's the last one I thought of, and he didn't even pan out here. And second thing is, I am not a high school basketball expert. I normally just watch college and EuroLeague as necessary. I defer to all the draft Twitter experts who spend all this time watching high school tape. They have many more concerns about Sharpe's two-way game than I think a lot of, you know, draft fans do just watching the highlights. Main thing for me is that I'm just glad that my job's not on the line if I'm the one who takes Shaedon Sharpe. So
for me with Shaedon Sharpe, I think if you look at just pure talent on film, he looks like Brandon Roy. I think he could score. He could be a scorer. He could dribble in between players. His handle looks solid. But we've also only seen that, like you said, at the high school level and in a one-on-none situation at that pro day, right? So that's too big of a question mark for me. Number two is I keep listening back to Kentucky radio. I'm going back a month, 2 months, 3 months ago of hearing how he was academically ineligible. That's why he wasn't playing. And then he kept telling them that he was going to come back, that I'm going to be there. You kept hearing that he's in class today. He's going to be there. He's going to be there. He wants to be back. And then ultimately what happened? He never actually showed up. He never actually did come back. And then it was like never really talked about. I just feel like there's a lot of secrecy here. I think he tried to finesse the system of college just to get to this moment because he saw how high he was projected. And that bit of a concern, I think, scares me if I was ever a GM in that moment to make a decision. And for the Kings, it's probably the biggest decision they have to make here at number four. They have to get this pick right. I feel like there's no mistake that they can make here. You have to make the right pick here, no matter what.
Yeah.
And I'll have Rafael Barlow of NBA Draft Big Board here on Thursday to talk about this even more. But he thinks it's okay for the Kings to swing for the fences because they have nothing to lose. I think they have everything to lose. And I think Sharpe has the biggest chance to burn any franchise that he goes to if he does not pan out because of how big of a question mark of what he could be. And at the same time, there's people that are out there saying that he is he could be the guy of the draft, the number one best player out of it. So it's just too concerning for me. I don't think you swing for the fences here at four with Shaedon Sharpe. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, especially when a guy with equal upside is going to still be there at four. Like Jaden Ivey has the same level of scoring upside as Shaedon Sharpe does. Yeah. Maybe more. He showed it at college. Any one of the top three forwards, like Timmy, is on the same level of high-end outcomes that Shaedon Sharpe has. So, to me, somebody who is both safer and equal upside is going to be there at four. That's why I'm not going to take Shaedon Sharpe.
I want to run through these last two scenarios here with you before I have to let you go. I know we're running on a hard time here. Keegan Murray. I think Keegan Murray is a really good basketball player. I think he is going to make an impact right away on any team that he goes to. No matter where it is in the top 10, I think he is going to make an impact right away. I don't see his ceiling being as high as anybody else that we've mentioned in this potential top five or right here in the top four to go. But I do think he has the highest floor, and he's going to make an impact. I was low on him in the beginning. I said that his comp is like an Al Harrington, Dorian Finney-Smith, and I got a lot of hate on that on Twitter as well. But I've warmed up to the idea that he could become a Tobias Harris. I think a Tobias Harris is in his realm of possibility to grow into. What are your thoughts on Keegan Murray and obviously his fit with the Kings?
I agree with most everything you said there in terms of fit, in terms of safe floor. Like, there's nobody who is safer to be a locked in starter for 4 to 7 years on this Sacramento Kings team than Keegan Murray. And I'm going to have a profile out on him in the next week or so. And if that's the way that this team goes, like, I'm not going to be thrilled about it. But in terms of, well, the Kings just got a locked in starter who fits their needs pretty damn well. And, you know, as we always say, don't underestimate smart players figuring out how to make the most of their limitations. Now, that all said, I think that a lot of what we saw from Keegan Murray at Iowa, that, like, his production's just incredible on the offensive end. His defense production in terms of block and steal rates is just insane. But I have real concerns about the translation of both of those on both sides of the ball. I think that I'm not so high on his individual creation ability. He could do it in college just because he was so much longer than most guys, but like, his first step isn't super great. He's a terror in transition, but there's a difference between his top end speed and the speed that he can get when he's at a standstill driving from the perimeter. And like, he was in the 99th percentile for post success at Iowa. We expect in a 6'8 power forward to come in and suddenly be this super high usage post rate guy in the NBA. I just don't see that happening. So to me, the belief in Keegan Murray's upside is, damn, he's a good 3-point shooter. And so if that's where you want to sell me on, hey, his number one role for the Kings would be as a floor spacer, and we have all this information this year to back him up as a real fantastic shooter, that's where his trajectory is going to go. Hell, I believe in that. He also only had 41 shots off the dribble this year, which was like 5% of his offense. So me seeing people going all in on this, well, if nothing less, he's going to be a great pull-up shooter. The history just doesn't back that up. So I like Keegan Murray a lot. I loved the idea of getting him at 7. I don't love the idea of him at 4. To me, taking him over whichever one of the top four guys is there is getting a little cute.
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head when you said, I don't know if his game translates over to the next level. Like, you're not going to see a 6'7", 6'8", you know, forward start posting up people like that. And like you said, I think it was a lot more of just his length and motor that allowed him to get a lot of boards and finish around the rim, what it was. And that motor and everything and the way he used it reminds me a lot of Thomas Robinson. Just his motor was able to get him a ton of rebounds. He was an undersized big there at Kansas as well. But I mean, obviously Keegan Murray has that jump shot. He is going to be a really good shooter. Another thing that concerns me though is he's really not that great of a screener. So if you're asking him to be a screen and popper, I don't really know if he's going to be creating enough space or making enough worry to be standing there and being that screener for you and to get enough action for him to space away to get the shot. So there's a lot of concerns for me on Keegan Murray. I think if you're sitting at 7, you're sitting at 6'7", 5'6", 7 range, you're looking really solid to picking up a Keegan Murray. When you're at 1, 2, 3, 4 and you have Ivy or possibly – Bonchero falling or Chet falling or Jabari, I mean, like, that's the idea that you go with those higher ceilings and still decent floor guys. I think Keegan Murray is just playing it safe, and the Kings can't play it safe, but they have to get it right with this pick.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and move on to the last part of it here, and that is these top three. Okay. Chet, Jabari, and Paolo. There's been a lot of conversation, like we said earlier, Jaden Ivey to OKC. OKC seems to have this infatuation with Jaden Ivey. You're also starting to hear reports. I believe I read on the Orlando Sentinel the other day that they are going to be bringing in Jaden Ivey for a workout. I think that would be very surprising for them to go in that direction, being that they already have Suggs and Cole and Fultz. Like, I just don't know if that really makes too much sense for them. That OKC taking Jaden at two, who do you think of those three falls? Is it Paolo, is it Jabari, or is it Chet?
I honestly think, this is just my gut instinct, I think Chet Holmgren's going to go number one. He fits everything that team has always idealized. He played in high school with Jalen Suggs. The Gonzaga connection there is just way too perfect. And to me, if you're looking at two-way upside, Chet Holmgren's upside is the highest in this class. If you're telling me that somebody falls and it's not Jaden Ivey, I would guess it would be Paolo Banchero. But I don't necessarily think, like, whichever one of these guys is going to fall, it's going to feel like a bit of a snub, because they all deserve to go top three, but one of them can't. Paolo Banchero would be a good fit here on offense. Like, you wouldn't have a better passing big man core than Sabonis and Banchero. The number of stuff that they could do on offense would be fantastic. I'm less enthralled with the defense, but whatever. And honestly, if there was any chance, if that OKC wants Jaden Ivey, take is real, I'm going to be calling up OKC and like, okay, how in the heck can I get up there to take whichever one of Chet Holmgren or Jabari Smith Jr. falls to number two? Because, like, if the Kings get either one of those guys, to me, that just launches this rebuild in a completely different direction.
I'm about to blow your mind with what I'm about to say, I think. I think no one has really said this at all, and I think it's going to be just me. I agree with you. I think Chet goes number one. Like you said, the connection between Suggs and him makes sense. And not only did they play in high school, right? They won three national titles in high school together. Three high school titles. Like, that's crazy. And then the Gonzaga. I believe Suggs flew to Chet's home the day he announced he was going to Gonzaga. Is that correct? That connection is solid. That's how you build chemistry. That's how you build a team. And then you are so infatuated with Mo Bamba, he's not working out. The defensive upside and the more offensive upside that Chet brings, he's the clear number one for them. I think that's just the number one pick there. OKC takes Jaden Ivey. Okay, I think that makes sense there as well. I think Houston still takes Paolo. And I think Jabari would be the one that would fall out of those top three guys. And the biggest reason why is I think Paolo, who was considered to be a number one pick, I think I may be on the short bus for this. I think Paolo has the chance to be the best, absolute best player in this entire draft.
No, he has the entire
package. He has the entire package. Defensively, he's a question mark, but I don't think he's as bad on defense that everyone else is assuming that he is. But offensively, he is the complete package. The ability to shoot. Not only can he do that, he can pass. His vision on the court is, I don't want to say Ben Simmons-esque, but it's Ben Simmons-esque. Like, it's up there. I think and if Mike Brown can teach that, I would love if Paolo fell to the Kings, but I think it's going to be Jabari. I think Jabari is the one that falls of the three.
Well, first off, I agree with you on Banchero. If I was a team that needed an offensive engine to, you know, launch my offense and completely just sky high, Paolo's probably my number one, because I think he's the only one of these four guys who really has a strong shot to be the primary initiator of a good team. I would be surprised to see Jabari Smith fall to four. I'd be really, really surprised, just because we've heard for months teams really prioritizing his level of shooting and defensive upside. Like, he is, to me, both the best shooter in this class and the best perimeter defender of anybody in the top 10. But if he ends up in Sacramento, my God, he's the number one player on my King-centric big board. I would celebrate. I'd go buy his dad's jersey.
Yeah, that's my big thing. I think shooting in those top three spots. I mean, they still have Wood in Houston. What does that bring back for them? I think they would love an initiator because Şengün never really got the time, and I think it's because you can't he's not one that can take the ball up the court, but you have Şengün continuing to be your backup to a Paolo makes a ton of sense there. And if Jaden Ivey goes two and Chet goes one, like you and I both agree, look who's there at four, and it's the better version of Keegan Murray. It's the upside that you're looking for as well. That's the one that in that scenario, that's the one I'm hoping for to happen. I thought I would blow people's minds because I haven't said that anywhere yet. I've been waiting for this podcast to do it. That's the one I think is gonna happen, brother.
I'd love it. I would. I'd probably be arrested for streaking that night, honestly.
All right, guys, that is going to be our show today. Let us know all of your guys' thoughts. Do you agree with the mindset that Jabari Smith could be the one that falls? Would you be okay if Paolo fell or Jaden Ivey, Shaedon Sharpe, Keegan Murray? I want to know all of your guys' thoughts. Leave it down in the comment section below. Brian, thank you so much for joining me, man, on the show. This was a little bit longer than I expected. I didn't even think we were going to go 10 minutes past the time that I was going to do with you, but I appreciate you taking the time to join me, man. Where can the fans find you online?
Fans can find me on Twitter at BSWest5. And just tune into the Kings Herald, for independent Kings coverage. Got a lot going on between now and draft day.
Oh, yeah. And you said you have a profile on Keegan coming out soon, correct?
Yeah, coming out probably in the next week. So, look forward to that.
You guys see it. You guys see it right there at BSWest5 on Twitter, the Kings Herald. If you haven't done so yet, bookmark that thing. Please do me a huge favor, guys, as well. Hit that subscribe button here on this YouTube channel, or if you guys are listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever, hit that subscribe button, thumbs up button, and of course, leave us a rating so we can keep building up momentum and a lot of fans. Shout out to our sponsors, RateCrushers.com. Make sure you guys are not overpaying for your car, leisure, boat, motorcycle insurance, okay? These guys will make sure you're not overpaying. Go to RateCrushers.com and let them know that the King's Court sent you. I appreciate you once again, Brian. Thank you again for coming on the show. Thank you to everyone who viewed us today. And until next time, Sacramento Kings fans, peace.